ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The US is warning Israel not to launch a major assault on Rafah. Joe Biden saying this morning he would halt offensive weapons transfers if the IDF proceeds with a ground offensive on Gaza's southern city. But this morning, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has doubled down.
We're on the eve of Independence Day. In the War of Independence 76 years ago, we were the few against the many. We did not have weapons. There was an arms embargo on Israel. Today, we are much stronger. If we need to stand alone, we will stand alone. I have said that if necessary, we will fight with our fingernails.
One of those calling on Benjamin Netanyahu to stop the ground offensive is one of his predecessors. Ehud Olmert is a former Prime Minister of Israel, and I spoke to him a short time ago. Ehud Olmert, thank you so much for joining our program.
Hi.
Your latest piece for Haaretz calls for Israelis to flood the streets to keep the IDF out of Rafah. Why are you calling for that?
Well, first of all, I'm sure that you are aware of the fact that for the last year and a half, Israelis are flooding the streets almost on a daily basis, every day, even before I called them to do it. They volunteered because of many other reasons, not just the terrible events that took place in October 7th. The feeling amongst many Israelis is that this government has failed us, that has made dramatic misjudgments and errors that brought about this terrible disaster, and is unable and unwilling to take the necessary measures in order to pull out from this into an entirely different direction. So there is now a very serious public confrontation between the government and those who want the government to be removed. And what I did was just to give an expression to something that many Israelis share, that we need to stop the war now. We need to stop the war, not because the war is unjust. The war has been inevitable, considering the terrible atrocities committed by Hamas, that massacred and butchered and beheaded and raped children and parents and elderly people, more than 1,500 civilians that were killed in their homes and living rooms and bedrooms and so on. And we had to reach out for the killers and do everything in order to remove the Hamas, that is the main threat to the possible peace resolution in this area. But we have reached a point now where we have done the most that can be done against a terrorist organization. We almost completely eradicated them. And now any further step is going to cost the lives of the Israeli hostages and the lives of many innocent civilians that live in Rafah, that were pushed to go to Rafah from the northern part of Gaza by us. And so when you put all this together, you reach the inevitable conclusion that it's time to stop. And the suspicion amongst many Israelis is that the prime minister is reluctant to do it because of reasons which are not in line with the real interests of the people of Israel.
For the first time, U.S. President Joe Biden has said he won't supply offensive weapons to Israel if Benjamin Netanyahu orders a major ground incursion of Rafah. Do you support those conditions from the U.S. president, given your own opposition to an attack on Rafah?
The question is now, what made the president, who is perhaps the most friendly president of the United States of America that has ever been in office, as far as Israel is concerned. What made him the president that left everything and came to Israel a week after the event started, and then brought in two aircraft carriers to help protect the state of Israel, and brought an atomic submarine, and sent 200 or more the giant Galaxy planes with weapons and munitions that were important for us, and moved a resolution in the American Congress to an additional support of $14 billion to Israel. What made this great person, a greatest friend of Israel, to say that he will stop the delivery of weapons? I mean, this question has to be put to the Israeli prime minister, to the Israeli government, and they need to give an answer. I'm not happy that the president reached that conclusion, but I can't ignore the circumstances that brought him into this position.
Could Israel manage without American arms?
Look, Israel is a very strong country. I mean, this is the irony here. We are a very strong country, and we can provide a lot of the weapons that we need, and we produce them, and we even sell them. Perhaps we sell more to other countries than any other country, certainly any other country in the Middle East or in Europe. But for the long run, there are certain types of weapons and munitions which are essential that we may not have enough of them.
You've described this war as a genuine, impressive and unprecedented victory, yet the hostages haven't been freed. Hamas has been degraded, but they're not destroyed. And the length of Israel's campaign and the way it's been fought has, of course, as you've already mentioned yourself, clearly put your strongest supporter in Joe Biden off. Isn't that an unprecedented loss?
It was not supposed to be one, but it may become one as a result of the arrogance and the complacency and the overconfidence of the Israeli government. It started with 240 Israelis abducted by the Hamas, and many of them were killed already. And if all of them will not be returned alive, this will be a great tragedy. On the other hand, it may also be that Hamas will largely disappear. If they already, I think we killed more than 12,000 of the fighters, and we can kill more. I think we have shattered and destroyed most of the bunkers, of the tunnels, of the launchers, of the rockets, and of the rockets.
Isn't there a real possibility, too, that you've created a new generation of militants?
You know, I'm in opposition to the Israeli government. I am perhaps one of the sharpest critics of this government. And you forced me to almost to defend them, which I'm not inclined to do. Yeah, we may have. Look, they have the militants, they have the zealots, they have the extremist radical fundamentalists long before this operation. It started with the atrocities committed by these zealots, in spite of the fact that we pulled out from the Gaza completely years ago. And I was one of the spearheads of this evacuation and disengagement from Gaza as the vice prime minister at the time of Sharon's being prime minister. And we pulled out precisely because we didn't want to occupy them there, and we wanted to start a process that was supposed to end up with a comprehensive peace between us and them. To say that the war now has created a new generation of militants, I think it's a slight exaggeration. But what is entirely unreasonable and unacceptable is that when asked, the Israeli government asked, Tzokol, what is your endgame vision? Okay, now you destroy all the Hamas, you eradicate them, they all disappear from under the sun. But there are still 6 million Palestinians. What is your plan for these 6 million afterwards? Mm. The lack of any answer, the reluctance to even discuss it, not only publicly, but even with the American representatives that come back and forth all the time, including Secretary Blinken and the president, I think this is a major mistake that will cost Israel a lot.
There are reports that the National Security Minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, said Hamas loves Biden in response to Biden's pause or talk about weapons being sent to Israel. How much damage does that do?
Look, I may have to say, you know, by the way, he sued me for libel because I said about him things that, you know, I think describe him accurately. You know, if there is one government which I think is dangerous to the security and the stability and the well-being of the state of Israel, it's the Israeli government. And the person that symbolizes this more than anyone else is this Ben-Gvir. He's a criminal, he's a terrorist. He was charged with involvement with terror and was convicted a few times in the Israeli courts for being involved with terror and terrorist propaganda and terrorist affiliations and friendships with killers and murderers that killed innocent Palestinians. So, for him to say this about Biden, I'm not surprised that he says it. What I am appalled is that he was not kicked out from the cabinet right away by the prime minister, because the prime minister prefers the security that he provides, that Ben-Gvir provides to the Israeli government, over the real national interest.
That's Ehud Olmert, who's Israel's former prime minister from 2006 to 2009, and he joined me a little earlier.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.